1490 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Daria Aldinger. A major legal setback for Donald Trump in a civil fraud case. A New York judge ordered the former president to pay $355 million and banned him from doing business in the state for 3 years after determining that Mr. Trump overvalued his properties to get better bank loan and insurance rates.
It's still going to be painful for him, either put all of it in escrow with the court or post a portion of it as a bond with hefty interest. And that's on top of $83 million Trump was ordered to pay E. Jean Carroll for defaming her. And he's facing those four criminal trials, the first of which begins right here in New York a little more than a month from now.
ABC's Aaron Katursky. Russian opposition leader Alexei Navalny has died. The vocal critic of President Vladimir Putin was being held in a penal colony. President Biden visited East Palestine, Ohio, a year after a Norfolk Southern train derailed and spilled toxic chemicals. This is ABC News. Two people are dead, and a murder investigation is underway today at the University of Colorado, Colorado Springs.
When police arrived at a dorm on a call of shots fired at around 6 in the morning, two victims were found shot to death inside of a dorm room. Ira Cronin with Colorado Springs Police.
These deaths are being investigated as a homicide, and this continues to be a very active investigation.
The University of Colorado, Colorado Springs campus was on lockdown for a while. That has been lifted, but the campus is closed. Alex Stone, ABC News.
The United Auto Workers Union is threatening to go on strike next week at Ford's largest and most profitable factory in a dispute over local contract language. The Kentucky truck plant in Louisville makes heavy-duty E-Series pickups, as well as the Ford Excursion and the Lincoln Navigator, large SUVs. There's a strike. It'll be the second walkout in the plant in the past year. Daria Aldinger, ABC News.
There's a small Wisconsin town where the population grows to 10 times its size every February.
Normally, we're about 2,600 people during Berkey Week. That gets up to 20, 30,000.
That's Blair Flickinger with the Foundation for the American Birkebeiner. The skiing marathon started with a couple of people carving a trail between Hayward and Cable 50 years ago. It's also a tribute to the ski culture of another country already hosting its own Birkebeiner. Is it Turkey? Turkey, Norway, or Germany? The answer coming up.
There's a camaraderie that comes along with this event that is unparalleled.
A camaraderie between people who come to Hayward from around the world.
Make everyone feel like Hayward is their spot for the week.
So did you guess the Berkey was created as a tribute to Norway's 100-year-old race? And while our Berkey is a well-known winter event, it's still growing by adding other races all throughout the year. There's a slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
More repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions, you are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, and all over the world, BIPOC, Native issues. As you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. Hey, I just want to kind of start out the show. You know, we talked a little bit in the last few days on the show about the MMIWR march in Minneapolis on Valentine's Day on February 14th. Prior to the march, there was some powerful speakers. We had our friend Ruth Buffalo was up there, State Senator Mary Kunish. And we had this young warrior that has been on the show many times, and she's a doer. Her and her husband are a doer, and it's very awe-inspiring speech, and I want to play that for everyone because I really feel like it was powerful, and I want to share that with everybody. This is the young one. She's a young lady here in Minneapolis. She did the Leonard Peltier March all across Turtle Island to Washington, D.C. And again, she's a doer. So I want to share this with everybody. And I'll talk a little bit about this after we play this short segment from Rachel Thunder. They're smudging her off right now. It's an awesome thing. And they're adjusting the microphone. There's a lot of smudging going off again. It's pretty powerful. I just really, really totally excited to play this, and that's I'll cue it up right now and let's let her rip.
Rachel Thunder. I say hello and thank you to each of you as individuals and to all of you collectively. My name is Rachel Dion Thunder. I'm a co-founder and board member of the Indigenous Protector Movement. Come from an Aimee family and community member here in South Minneapolis. I wanted to start by saying today that we honor the thousands of missing and murdered Indigenous women, girls, men, boys, and Two-Spirit people, our relatives, including those lost from our own community. Our love and our compassion go to our families, and we stand with you today and all days. Together we call for prayer, healing, and justice for these families and our people in response to this violence. The abuse of our women and our people is well known throughout colonial history. But today is a shift in that history. Yeah. We shift from resilience, perseverance, and survival. And today we shift into our power. Our collective power, as Indigenous people, as the true and original people of Turtle Island. Today, we remember, and today we say no more. Today and every day, we fight for the living. We fight for our future generations, for our past generations. We say, you are not forgotten, and we say that you are loved. We are at a moment in time that our ancestors have fought for and prayed for and sacrificed for. We are at a moment in time with an opportunity for unstoppable collective power. Today, we recognize and awaken our collective power to fight against this system. We ground ourselves in prayer and in the ceremony of togetherness and of our community. We choose love. We ground ourselves with our mother, with the earth, and hold true power, not the illusion of power that the system of oppression projects. True power of our people, fighting for sobriety, fighting for each other, united and healed. Together we stand in a way that our ancestors prayed for, to demand that the colonial settler violence against our people ends. We stand together as women, mothers, aunties, daughters, fathers, sons, warriors, leaders, elders, and as those that hold positions of influence in this government system, to all stand together to heal and fight from the community level to the federal level so that they will have no choice but to listen. That there will be no other option but healing and peace, that our sovereign rights as as the original and true people of Turtle Island to defend and protect our relatives is honored and upheld. Today we say no more. And we say that together as one true, clear voice. We say no more through our words, our walk, our march for all of our missing and murdered relatives. We will be seen, we will be heard, and they will be taken no more.
No more!
That was beautiful. That was Rachel Thunder speaking on behalf of her group. And I just really love the fact that we have young people that speak up and that are articulate, that are educated, that are fighting for our people, and that can really bring the message out there. And that's what we try to do here on Native Roots Radio. I talk about that all the time, is that we are so pleased to be on the airwaves. We're so pleased to be able to carry our message to our people, to our elders especially, that we're still here, that we're fighting for things that they fought for many years. I want to say, Pini Gigi, thank you so much for all our white allies out there that ask us questions, that say hello, and try and do the right thing in a good way. And, you know, it's been our pleasure here on Native Roots Radio to be a conduit to the communities that we serve all over Turtle Island. We're still here. We are the seventh generation. And when we say that, we think of the generations seven ahead of us. And again, my theme's been really in the last, what seems like the last few years, is that we all come from tribes. We all have been colonized into thinking that destroying Mother Earth is good for the pocketbook. That's good for money. And we want to save this planet for our next seven generations. And I know most of you, if not all of you, do too. And so we fight, and we fight where there's a fight. We bring our voice. And Ho-Chunkla, Ho-Chunk means the people of the sacred voice. And I'm a tribal member, a citizen of Ho-Chunk Nation, and a proud, proud member of this community. And we're still here. We'll always fight for what is right. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
If the statistics say that one in three Native women and one in six Native men have experienced sexual assault in their lifetime, it means our whole community is affected by sexual violence. One is too many. Don't stand by, stand up. Don't engage in acts of sexual violence, and shut down the dirty jokes, the gossip, the victim blaming and shaming. As a community, we can change the way we respond. Contact the Minnesota Indian Women Sexual Assault Coalition to attend a workshop to learn more.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women Sexual Assault Coalition.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Are you thinking about college? Consider checking out Minnesota Private Colleges. These 18 nonprofit institutions keep the focus on students with small classes and professors who will get to know you. You'll find students from all backgrounds, and no two colleges are alike. And when it comes to cost, they're more affordable than you think. Find the college that's right for you at mnprivatecolleges.org/possible. mnprivatecolleges.org/possible.
Hi, this is Philip Anthony, the host of the Downright Upright Show, which is on the air on Saturdays at 5 p.m. I personally want to thank you for supporting my show and for supporting AM 950. So in turn, we want to celebrate you by dedicating February as Listener Appreciation Month. All month long, we will be giving away prizes to our listeners and creating ways to better connect with you. Follow AM 950 social media accounts for chances to win. So join us by making February fantabulous.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Yeah, serving many people all around Turtle Island. And hey, we have one of the workers on right now, Juliana Enright, and she's an art gallery coordinator. And Haley, I know you were at the opening. I was in mm-hmm. New York or Chicago or some big city, so I couldn't make it. But we're excited to catch up with Juliana and see what's happening.
Yeah, always.
Hey, welcome to the show.
Hey, nice to be here.
Right on. Hey, can you tell our audience, because we're all over the country here, and where you are and what you do, and talk a little bit about the All My Relations Art Gallery.
Yeah, absolutely. My name is Juliana Enright, and I am the Gallery and Programs Coordinator for All My Relations Arts. And we are a program of the Native American Community Development Institute, and that's located in Minneapolis on Franklin Avenue, which is the heart of the American Indian Cultural Corridor. We've been in operation since 1999, and we work towards promoting and creating high-caliber exhibitions that focus on contemporary Native American artwork.
Yeah, and you also do book signings, too, and openings, and we really appreciate you and having the capacity to sponsor that Ho-Chunk book that was signed, and that was very successful signing, I think. We're going to swing around and talk to you about trying to do another one here. That was awesome.
Yes, one of our programs is the Native Authors Program. So we pair local or Native to Minnesota residents to support them in getting help publishing and putting their voices out so that we can tell our stories better.
So how did you get started in this? Without saying what is your background, How did you get started in this? I know you're very successful, and we've gone in and seen a lot of your work, and it's always fun for us to talk about and hype it up, but where do you come from in a sense of your skill set and how you've been able to do this for these past few years?
Yeah, well, I should start out with the fact that I'm an enrolled member of the Lower Bro Lakota Tribe of South Dakota. And growing up in South Dakota, I didn't see a lot of Native representation. So to be in Minnesota is just a lot different than it was growing up. So I kind of got my background as an arts writer. And from there, I went into independent curation. And I was part of a fellow of the Emerging Curators Institute, which is a local organization that tries to help and uplift BIPOC curators or first-time curators. And I actually had my show at All My Relations Arts before I started working there. That one was focused on Indigenous futurism, and it was called Biscabiong, which is an Anishinaabe word for returning to oneself. So just a sense of returning to one's culture through reinvestigating their own heritage and traditions and language.
Yeah, and you know, with my background, that's really important because you know, we feel left out if we don't know our traditions, our ways of life, and sometimes there's gatekeepers out there that, you know, so we have issues like that. So it's really cool to hear that that's what you were really focused on, because I know sometimes it's a problematic for us Native people, especially for our adoptees that are coming back, and people that just weren't brought up in the culture and that want to be brought up in the culture, or at least know about the culture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a really good point. You know, my grandmother and my mother were both boarding school survivors. And I talk a lot about how there's kind of this jump from intergenerations where, you know, assimilation happened for my grandmother's generation to the point where it was safer to kind of more integrate and assimilate. And now my mom's generation is sort of trying to heal from that trauma. And this generation, my generation, and the one below, they have a little bit of a distance from that. So they're able to really try to get to know their culture and speak the language a little easier than past generations have had to.
Well, they have the opportunity where a lot of our, my generation and the generation before didn't, because of boarding schools. Being a former teacher, I'm really excited to see that, like Gen Z and your generation are really picked up the ball, and in a good way. You know, there is no gatekeeping. It's all inclusive. It's, you know, we talk about a lot of things, you know, from two-spirit to, you know, people that are single parents and on our show, and we're all coming in the circle. And I feel like Gen Z doesn't care who you are, as a matter, it's just your heart.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Right on. So I was looking at your Facebook, and before we get really talking about the gallery here, did you used to be a DJ too?
Oh, I still am a DJ.
Come on, talk to me. What's up? Tell me what's up.
Well, you know, I think that one of the reasons I started getting into it is, my mom was a great lover of music, is a great lover of music, was in South Dakota, would drive out to listen to AM broadcasts to get to know all the weird underground bands and write them down and go to record stores. So I grew up listening to Motown and some classic rock from my dad's side. And, you know, I didn't see a lot of female or femme DJs out there. So I kind of just wanted to do it myself. And it's, you know, it's a great way to connect with people. And music is such also a healing power. It's a fun little hobby that I have that sometimes makes me money.
Right on. Well, you have to let Haley and I know, because I know my jam is the 70s. I was a child of the 60s and a teen of the 70s. And I still have my XM radio on the 70s. Oh, cool. So let's talk a little bit before we end this segment. Let's talk about what's in the gallery right now. I know, again, Haley was at the opening, and it's always electric for us to come through there. We walk through the coffee shop. If you're getting a coffee shop at the coffee shop, and then you go through the doors and you just, bam, it's like another world.
Yeah. It's so great to have Powwow Grounds right in front of the gallery. It really, you know, helps people come in who might not have known there was a gallery space there. And it really helps our community feel like they belong in the art world, when so many institutions have made us feel really not welcome in those spaces. So right now we have a partner exhibition with the American Swedish Institute in response to their traveling exhibition, Arctic Highways Unbound Indigenous People. So this is an exhibit called Okizi to Heal, and it's the Dakota word for healing, mm-hmm. on a individual and singular element. And this is a group exhibition that kind of cross-pollinates Indigenous cultures. So we have artists who are of Sami descent, and then we also have invited and juried Native artists showcasing at the same time. And I, you know, when we were in conversation with the American Swedish Institute and with the Sami artists in the show, we really realized that there was such a similarity between the historical things that we've both gone through as Indigenous people, you know, loss of spirituality, language, or separation from those things. And so this exhibit is really highlighting, trying to revitalize the efforts to reconnect this generation and future generations to our language, our land, and our culture as a way of healing.
You know, Haley and I talked about this, and Haley, you can jump in too. The similarities between our bison and the deer really blew my mind when I went in the gallery and heard about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that that was one of the elements that we really found a common ground on. The migration installation, which is featuring the Sami and a Swedish artist, talks about this migration of the reindeer and the Sami people's connection to reindeer, which really mirrors Native people's connection to the buffalo and how we migrated with each other. And another element was just this concept that animals don't know nationality or national borders. And so really it's kind of breaking down those barriers of what colonization has pushed us into.
Yeah, and we talk a lot about this on the show, and I know one of my favorite speakers used to talk about it all the time was John Trudell, was that everyone came from a tribe at one time. People have been colonized by either the Catholic Church or the Spaniards or whatever across the world. And, you know, Native Americans are one of the last, along with other indigenous people across the world, the last line of being totally colonized. And we're fighting back on that. And you're fighting back on that with your gallery. And that's we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back with a lot of fun talk here. Juliana Enright, you know, art gallery program coordinator at All My Relations Art Gallery here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis. We'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us.
Broadcasting from the City Deck Studios on North Washington Street, the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Daria Aldinger. A major legal setback for Donald Trump in a civil fraud case. A New York judge ordered the former president to pay $355 million and banned him from doing business in the state for 3 years after determining that Mr. Trump overvalued his properties to get better bank loan and insurance rates.
It's still going to be painful for him, either put all of it in escrow with the court or post a portion of it as a bond with hefty interest. And that's on top of $83 million Trump was ordered to pay E. Jean Carroll for defaming her. And he's facing those four criminal trials, the first of which begins right here in New York a little more than a month from now.
ABC's Aaron Katursky. Russian opposition leader Alexei Navalny has died. The vocal critic of President Vladimir Putin was being held in a penal colony. President Biden visited East Palestine, Ohio, a year after a Norfolk Southern train derailed and spilled toxic chemicals. This is ABC News.
It's Black History Month, and civic media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Food and Drug Administration is recalling about 60 products made with contaminated milk. A nationwide outbreak of listeria is linked to cheese, yogurt, and sour cream made by Lizzo Lopez Foods and sold under over a dozen brand names. Two people are dead and two dozen people are in the hospital across the country. Wisconsin is moving closer to regulating artificial intelligence. One bill would study how AI could help address the worker shortage in state government. Republican Representative Nate Gustafson.
We want to take AI and then ultimately say, do we really need to find the additional bodies to fill the roles, or can we continue to leverage AI to its fullest capabilities?
Another bill would impose $1,000 fines on the makers of political advertisements who use deepfakes without disclaimers. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Hi, my name is Maggie Dawn. You may have already heard that my 6 p.m. show is moving to 2 to 4 p.m. on the Civic Media Network.
And I'm Tom Allball, still taking care of middays from noon till 2.
Todd, what are you doing?
And I'm Dom, and Crudy and I are still kicking it from 4 to 6 p.m. across the Civic Media Network.
Dom, this is supposed to be about my show. I don't see why any of you guys...
We just want to be sure folks know precisely where to find you.
Right before the greatest radio show ever.
Until now, Crute.
Maggie Dawn, coming to your local station on the Civic Media Network.
2 to 4 p.m.
Right after me.
Oh, for crying out loud.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy tonight, a low in the low teens. More sunshine than clouds for the afternoon Saturday, but breezy. Highs upper 20s. On Sunday, a little warmer, more sun in mid-30s. Early next week, starting off dry with temperatures jumping back up into the 40s. Right now, it's 13.
988 Wisconsin Lifeline. How can I help you?
Share hope, find purpose when you become a 988 Wisconsin Lifeline counselor. The 988 Wisconsin Lifeline provides free and confidential support to anyone experiencing a mental health or substance use crisis. Staffed by Family Services, 988 has experienced tremendous growth, and more statewide counselors are needed to answer calls, texts, and chats to the Lifeline. If you want to share hope and find purpose in your next job, apply now. You can work remotely from anywhere. And
your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. The Talk of Green Bay. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Great partners over the years, and it's ironic, and we'll get talk a little bit about this maybe a little later in the show or in the segment about the march yesterday. But hey, we're here with Juliana Enright, and she's art gallery and program coordinator at All My Relations Art Gallery in Minneapolis in the Native American corridor right on Franklin Avenue. And we're excited to have you on, and we've threatened to have you on many times, and we got you on here, so we're excited. We're not going to let you go. But talk a little bit about this. We were talking a little bit about the exhibit in the last segment. Let everyone know what the hours are and where we can go see this.
Yeah, so our gallery hours are Tuesday through Friday from 10 to 5 and Saturday from noon to 3, right at East Franklin Avenue, 1414, right in the American Indian Cultural Corridor. And something, you know, I wanted to highlight about this show is I mentioned before that Okizi is the Dakota word for healing oneself. And so the focus of this exhibit is really about how individual healing can work towards the greater collective healing for Native people. And so all the works of the show are a visual representation that highlight the artist's individual journey of healing through art and culture. And this exhibition features artists that represent 13 different tribal affiliations along with the Sami. And they all incorporate elements of their own traditional heritage of art forms into their contemporary pieces. So we have just a lot of different mediums. We have screen prints, relief prints, mixed media. There's blown glass, digital collage, beadwork. It's just a really great mix of artists.
Is that tree trunk blown glass?
That's one of my favorite pieces, actually. That's artist Abby Sunday. And she has done a glass sculpture of sugar bushing.
Yeah.
And it's a really interesting piece because we have a lot of pieces that talk about boarding school on opposite sides of it. And the sugar bushing is just such a, you know, healing cultural activity that we do of maple tapping. And around the sculpture, there's tiny little maple glasses that kind of look like communion glasses. So yeah. I feel like it's an indigenous take on healing from that Catholic kind of element of boarding schools.
Wow, I'm glad you said that because that's kind of the vibe I got too. And I have a heart of an artist, so I try to interpret things, but it always isn't always the right way. But that's cool that you said that. You know, the silk screening, the reindeer, which I didn't know there was reindeers because I thought they flew with Santa Claus and one was named Rudolph. But that was stunning to see. And again, we have our friend Josie who has some nice beadwork up there that really comes from her background. And it's I just want to ask you before we get deep into maybe what your one of your most, I don't know, favorites, or I want to ask you, do people come out of there just going, oh my gosh, wow, I'm just transfixed? I know there's just a spiritual awakening of sorts that comes out of there in that room, and especially how you guys transform that from one exhibit to another is pretty amazing.
Yeah, I mean, what I find really interesting is that it seems like the community really tells us after each exhibit that this one was better than the last, or this one, you know, wow, I can't believe it looks so different in here. I think one of the elements that we always try to incorporate with our exhibits is having, you know, some medicines out, so that, you know, people can really engage with the work, but also feel really, really held and really protected while they might be experiencing something that could be traumatic, or some of the pieces are really heavy, but they're native truth telling, and they need to be seen, they need to be shown.
Yeah, I really like that native truth telling. Were you the coordinator when COVID was happening?
I was just getting onboarded. It was quite a fun ordeal to get onboarded via Zoom for a new place.
Well, not only that, but do you remember there was food brought there for people? It was really the gallery and the coffee shop became, again, a central part of the community, feeding people, getting supplies out, especially when COVID first hit and there was no vaccines and George Floyd's murder. And there was all these things that were happening around the gallery and powwow grounds. And I just want to say, I'll never forget that.
Yeah. And I think that's NACTI's ethos, is just to be, to respond to what the community needs at that time. And I think that's what people stepped up to do. It became a place where people could get home goods and other materials that they needed. We had AIM protectors all around the gallery, so it was really a safe space during that time.
Yeah. What a time to join the NADCTI, huh? that had to have been like, wow. Because we forget about that. We talk about COVID in the beginning of COVID a lot here, because we have like Dr. State Leon on Mondays, and I have a short memory of, you know, taking my clothes off at the door and not knowing if it spreads things, and before the vaccines. And again, you know, Native American Community Development Institute in Minneapolis really stood up and helped the community. And I just want to give you a shout out on that, because that's how important you are to the community. And you know, one of the things too, these exhibits are always free, you know, that's huge too. Anyone can come in and sample. I guess they can't sample the syrup because it's not real, but sample the art.
Yeah, it's coagulated by this point, so I don't know if it would be great to sample. But yeah, that's also, you know, something that I'm really proud that we can offer to the community. All of our workshops, our panels, our exhibits are always free of admission. So it's really just a great opportunity for someone to dip their hands into creating new pieces, or trying to make their own art, or just sitting and, you know, listening to a great panel discussion like you were mentioning about the Ho-Chunk book reading. That was such a well-attended event, and people are still talking about it. And that's something that we're happy to partner with and bring that to the community.
Yeah, it was a great partnership, by the way, too, and we really appreciate it. And the thing, I guess, Haley, you have a question. We were kind of talking in the break time. You have a great question. Mm-hmm. Why don't you take the reins right here real quick?
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, great to see you again, Juliana. Thanks for being on today. Every time I come to NACTI, I see all of the posters from past exhibits at all my relations. And I just really wish I could attend them all. They look so beautiful. What is, you know, a past exhibit that kind of has stuck with you throughout the years?
Yeah, and it's so hard to narrow it down to just one because, you know, every single one of them has a personal meaning and influence to me. And the artists that we meet are just so, those relationships don't end at the exhibition. We really try to help to make those things reciprocal and long lasting. But something that has really been sticking in my mind since the MMIWR march yesterday was our exhibit from 2022, which was Nuji Mo, She Heals. And that was a group show curated by Hillary Kepenick. And it was, we had in the past done an iteration of Bring Her Home shows that were focusing on that that crisis. And we wanted to make sure that we continued that theme. And we wanted to bring in more of a healing and an empowerment and a hopefulness in it. So that one was really celebrating the aunties in our lives, whatever form or shape those people took on, whether they be female or non-binary or two-spirit people in our lives, the people who have really influenced us to be the people who we are in community and in our culture. And so we just got so much great feedback from that event, and it really just showcased the power of Indigenous women.
Well, they lead the way, and that's if you're not colonized, you do know that and believe that. And women lead the way. They pick the chiefs, they pick the leaders in the tribes, and that's been going on for 10,000 years. And maybe with the colonization, we've took a few year break on that, and we're going to come back to that. Hey, was that the Museum of Modern Art in New York? And it was an amazing experience, but I didn't see one Native painting or picture. And that was so disappointing. And I know, too, there's a big push. There's a new federal law where if tribes don't say it's okay to have certain things that have been stolen in their exhibition, they have to give them back or not show them. And I think that's a really, really good thing. And things are leaning and bending towards our direction at times.
Yeah, I think what a lot of museums and art institutes are thinking of in terms of repatriation is the way that it should be. You know, where do these objects belong? With whom do they belong? I was just at a conference with Angela Two Stars over the summer, and we went to the Denver Art Museum, and I thought it was really interesting the way that they had been incorporating Indigenous works into their other collections as if they lived in one, as they should be. But part of the Western Art Gallery had Indigenous works, and then also Indigenous artists that would comment on some of the more stereotypical or really, you know, harmful art pieces that there were. And so that was just a really cool way of bringing it full circle and really adding Native voices back into the conversation.
Yeah, wow, that is powerful. Hey, we really appreciated you being on. And again, we got to do a movie show and critique some of these movies. Maybe we'll have aliases so we don't get a backlash. And we'll have behind a shadow here. But hey, Juliana, thank you so much for coming on. Let's do it again. You're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and that was Juliana Enright of the Art Gallery here, program coordinator at All My Relations. Check it out. Be there, be square. We'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us. The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis Air dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis Air on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Do you want a fast way to save money? It's easy with Rudy Luther Toyota. Start with the Luther Advantage card. With every new and used vehicle purchase, you'll get 3 years of 10 cents off per gallon of gas at Holiday Station stores, as well as discounted Works car washes for only $6. Plus, the Luther Advantage card gets you other benefits too. See their website for details. And Rudy Luther Toyota wants to buy your used vehicle. They'll ensure a great offer. Go to RudyLutherToyota.com for the details. Saving money and getting you a fair price is easy with Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Hey, AM 950 listeners, this is JP DeBragosian. I host This Queer Book Saved My Life and The Gailey Show. And I want to say on behalf of myself and my executive producer, Jim Pounds, we appreciate you a lot. You have given us such a warm welcome. Your calls and emails of support have meant the world to us. There aren't a lot of AM radio stations and their listeners who support queer creators like you do. So thanks for listening, and here's to another excellent year of progressive radio and queer progressive radio.
This is Leonard Peltier. I am in Coleman 1 U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
I did a howl while he's chewing on
a bone.
No, a leaf.
Oh,
our wolves are vegan.
Nice.
Hey, I want to introduce Wendy, our awesome and beautiful wife. My awesome, beautiful wife, and Wendy's been on for over 7 years of Native Roots Radio, and we've been learning so much over the years. I know I have about her sacred animals, and it's always great to have you on, Wen.
Yeah, thank you. Hey, everybody. My name is Hanaji Hihani. That means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dagger Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajingo, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state levels. And it's always my pleasure to do that. So I just got my update in the mail today, Robert. Ooh. It came. It's called All Animals,
yes.
And it's the update from the Humane Society of the United States, and it's marked winter of 2024.
Ooh.
And my hero is on the cover.
Oh,
who is that? Jane Goodall.
Oh, good one.
Yeah, so Jane Goodall, she's awesome. And I've been following her through her career.
I got you
over the
book.
Years. I know. So she went into the forests of Tanzania, Africa, and she studied wild chimpanzees, and she's a PhD DBE, and she's the founder of the Jane Goodall Institute and the United Nations Messenger of Peace. So she's done great work through her career, so I just wanted to tell you that. And I get this update because I donate to the Humane Society of the United States, and I'm also a Humane Policy Volunteer Leader. And they just came up with their 2023 reflections on all the good stuff that they did in 2023. Wow. And there's so much stuff we're not even going to be able to get it through, but I just wanted to talk about a couple of the real highlights.
Yeah.
And some of the things that me and my counterparts in the Humane Society of the United States, we went and we talked to our legislators about. Yeah, so it's really fun. Like when we would go meet our legislators, our House representatives, our city council members to get stuff done, and then you see it in the magazine as a 2023 reflection of what past and what good work the Humane Society of the United States did.
Yes.
Yeah, and continue to do. But I just want to remind everyone that the Humane Society of the United States does not adopt out any dogs or cats, or we're not involved in that. What we're involved in is legislation. So I'm a volunteer lobbyist for them, and that's what I do. And it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So if anybody wants to become a volunteer leader, we used to be called council members, but now we're called Humane Policy Volunteer Leaders.
Yeah.
It's kind of a big, name.
Yep.
Humane Title. Policy Volunteer Leader. And we had to put the L at the end, or else we would have been Humane HPV, which is Human papillomavirus. So
maybe not that.
So they had to put the leader at the end. So
we got to get t-shirts.
But anyway, let's get here. Let's go here. We're going to reflect on 2023 and what all the great things that the Humane Society of the United States did. So we have, I don't know this company, and I'm really surprised about it, but with our help, and when I say our help, that's the Humane Society of the United States. Mondelez International, they are the makers of Oreos, Triscuits, and more.
Mm-hmm.
They will only use cage-free eggs by 2025. That's huge.
And Oreos are vegan.
Oreos.
They don't even use that.
Yeah. The Oreos do not use the eggs. They are vegan. But really, this company, Mondelez International, they operate in 80 countries.
Oh.
That's how big they are. So going cage-free is huge, just huge. So that's great. And they give you like a little paragraph underneath about all the details, but I'm not going to have time to do that. So in May, the United States Supreme Court upheld California's Proposition 12, which requires that mother pigs, egg-laying hens, and calves raised for veal in the state are not cruelty confined.
God, that's a big thing.
The law also bans the in-state sale of pork, eggs, and veal produced via extreme confinement. So California doesn't even allow those meat and egg to come into their state if those animals were kept in confined cages. So
that's
Proposition 12 is awesome. And we had to call our state senators about that. So we worked on that.
Mm-hmm.
310 veterinary professionals and students volunteered 24,640 hours to care for 8,492 animals through their rural area veterinary service program. So that's a lot of hours, a lot of volunteers, and a lot of animals that really, benefited from this.
Mm-hmm.
Five students received $10,000 scholarships from the Humane Society Veterinarian Medical Association. That's really great. Let's see what else. I don't want to read every single one, but I want to read the ones that I'm really
jazzed about.
Well, here's one. This is really good too. Their animal rescue team responded to 3,495 animal cruelty complaints, assisted law enforcement with cases involving more than 65 different species, including dogs, cats, goats, snakes, kangaroos, ferrets, and more, and traveled to 12 states and two countries this year.
That's huge.
Wow. Yeah. to help with animal cruelty cases.
Let me get applause on that.
Yeah, right?
Haley, don't you have an applause one on yours too?
I don't think I do yet. I'll have to get a different one so they sound different.
Yeah, get a clappy one.
Okay. A lot of people don't know, but the dog meat trade in Korea is still around.
Yeah.
But 198 dogs were rescued from Korea meat farms this year alone by the Humane Society International.
Jeez.
Yeah, those are the, that's, they
like
go over all of them.
That.
Yeah. A decade-long fight in the United States to end the private possession of big cats at the federal level ended when
Please
the Big
do.
Cat
Jeez.
Public Safety Act went into effect in June. We went and talked also about that one. Do you remember that?
God, I remember you and I driving to one of those damn places.
Yep.
Up northern Minnesota,
yes.
not even that far away.
Yep, where people kept those big cats. I know.
Outdoors, take a picture with them.
Yep.
Let me make money off these poor
exactly.
things.
And the animal goes back in the cage with no enrichment, sits there all day until the next person comes and takes a picture with them. Or this is just people who get these big cats and keep them in their house as like a pet. And then,
mauled.
Then they get too big
and
they can't
mauled.
Handle it. And then the animal,
eats them.
Exactly. But usually people don't even realize what kind of food and nutrition these animals need. And most of them are really sick when they're rescued because they haven't gotten the correct nutrients and stuff.
Jeez. Uh-huh. 1 minute.
Yeah. Okay. What else we have here? California became the first state to end the sale of new animal fur products when its ban went into effect in January.
Nice.
So
fur
that's
free.
Yes, fur free. That's right. 12 of the 50 top food service companies in the United States have set public plant-based menu and meat reduction goals after working with the Humane Society of the United States. So more plant-based foods are out there and going around, and it's better for people, better for the planet, better for the economy. Better for the earth.
Right on. Hey, Wendy Pinagigi, thank you so much for your report. And maybe we'll get deeper into that next week.
Yeah, I got lots more here.
Hey, this has been Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
Free Leonard Peltier.
Now.
Wow.
Where the fans own the team. This is the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
There's a small Wisconsin town where the population grows to 10 times its size every February.
Normally, we're about 2,600 people during Berkey Week. That gets up to 20, 30,000.
That's Blair Flickinger with the Foundation for the American Birkebeiner. The skiing marathon started with a couple of people carving a trail between Hayward and Cable 50 years ago. It's also a tribute to the ski culture of another country already hosting its own Birkebeiner. Is it Turkey, Norway, or Germany? The answer comes.
There's a camaraderie that comes along with this event that is unparalleled.
A camaraderie between people who come to Hayward from around the world.
Make everyone feel like Hayward is their spot for the week.
So did you guess the Berkey was created as a tribute to Norway's 100-year-old race? And while our Berkey is a well-known winter event, it's still growing by adding other races all throughout the year.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin is taking steps towards cracking down on sex trafficking. The State Assembly Thursday passed a package of bills that came out of the Speaker's task force on the problem. Republican Representative Rick Gundrum.
One of the reasons sex trafficking is thriving here in Wisconsin is because our current penalties are often less than the cost of the actual solicitation.
The task force was formed after the human rights group Shared Hope International gave Wisconsin a failing grade for its anti-trafficking laws. A new push to legalize medical marijuana.